This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to Lessons in Fiqh. To continue studying the chapter that deals with Adhan, we have Hadith 144 and it's a long Hadith. It is filled with so many points that should be studied. And we talked about it a lot. And just to recap, Brother Muhammad will read it again for us.
Narrated Abdullah bin Zaid bin Abdul Rabbi, radiallahu anhu, a man appeared to me while I was asleep and told me to say, Allahu Akbar, meaning Allah is the most great. And he mentioned the Adhan with Allahu Akbar four times with tarji, without tarji. And the Iqama once except قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ meaning the prayer stood ready to begin. He repeated it twice. He, Abdullah, said, when it was morning, I went to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, it is a true vision. Ahmed added to the end of the Ibn Hadith the story of Bilal's statement in the Fajr Adhan, الصَّلَاةُ خَيْرٌ مِنَ النَّوْمِ prayer is better than sleep.
Okay. Do we have something else, or that's all, regarding of Ibn Khuzaymah? Reported from Anas, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it is from the sunnah that we have the muadhin say in the first adhan of Fajr prayer time, Hayya ala al-falah, come to success. He says also, As-salatu khayrun min al-nawm. Now, we talked a lot about this hadith, and Brother Muhammad mentioned the word tarji'. Does any one of you know what tarji' is? Noor?
We mentioned Adhan without with a loud voice, the high voice.
No, Abu Malik.
You say in low breath first. You whisper it, then you say it out loud.
What
then? Like you say.
The whole thing?
No, just the jihad.
That's the shahada. Allahu
Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah, like that.
Okay. Do you agree, Mustafa?
I thought you say it double times, like twice.
What? Tarji' is to say it double times? No. Tarji' is... Now, how many sentences are there in the adhan? Count. 15.
In words, right?
Yes, sentences. Allahu Akbar, one. Allahu Akbar, two, three, four.
17.
Or?
17 or 19.
You have to count them, huh?
15.
There are 15. Now, in some hadiths, it goes up to 17. In others, it goes up to 19. And we will go, inshallah, we'll talk about this. Tarji' in the normal adhan that we know, which is the 15 sentences, you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, loud. And then you say in a whispering voice that you only hear and those who are next to you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And then you say it in a loud voice, Ashhadu an la ilaha, in the adhan form. And then you repeat again, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, twice in a soft voice. Then you say it loud again. This is called tarji'. Mustafa.
So when you're doing tarji'a, then you're not supposed to make it sound on the microphone. If you could say it with a loud voice and then whisper it, but also on the microphone, and people are still going to hear it?
No, you can't say it on the microphone, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you are shouting it. The adhan is to notify. So when you shout, say, Allahu Akbar, this is shouting. But if I say, Allahu Akbar, those who are next to me and those who are listening to the mic, it will not reach as far as the actual adhan. And this is the sunnah, to make it. And if you make tarjir or you don't make tarjir, both ways can be acceptable because both is sunnah. So you have no problem with this, inshallah. Now, also, there is an addition of Ibn Khuzaymah. Only in Fajr prayer that you may add As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. What does that mean, Fadi?
That prayer is better than going to sleep.
Prayer is better than sleeping. You have to go to sleep. But it's better than sleeping, and this is a call for those who are asleep. So he is calling them, come to prosperous. Come to prayer. By the way, prayer is better than sleeping. So get up from your beds and come to prayer. And this is only done in the Fajr prayer. And if you recall, we have how many calls for Fajr prayer? We have two. This is not said in the first one. It's only said in the actual call for Fajr when we say it. Now, Abdullah ibn Zayd was happy with the dream he saw. So he went to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he said it to the Prophet, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam approved of it. Now, Abdullah ibn Zayd was known to be one of the mu'adhin of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Is this true? Is he known to be one of the people to call for the adhan? No, he's not. Why? He had a problem with his voice. His voice was not soft and nice. Probably it was too masculine and too rough and tough. It's good in wars. It's good in shouting at people. But it wasn't good to call people for prayer. So the Prophet ﷺ asked Abdullah ibn Zayd to teach the adhan to whom, Fadi? Mustafa?
To Bilal.
To Bilal. He asked him to teach the adhan to Bilal. And Bilal was a slave. He was a black companion of the Prophet ﷺ, one of the greatest by far of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. He tolerated so much punishment and torture and refused to reject Islam. And now, if you imagine Bilal's time, he was not surrounded by strong Muslims. He didn't have any Islamic countries to migrate to and make hijrah. He was stuck in Mecca alongside with the other companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And he was, beside all of that, a slave. And he was owned by one of the tyrants of Mecca, of the mushrikun. And he used to punish him. He used to torture him so that he would believe in their idols and commit any form of blasphemy. And Bilal had the excuse, you know, if you're tortured to say a word that insults Allah or insults Islam, Islam tells you, go ahead and do it. Islam doesn't tell you, you know, die without answering them. No, it tells you it's okay. Do you have any examples, Muhammad, for Islam telling us it's okay to say the word of blasphemy if you had to and you were under the gunpoint or torture? Remember anything, Noor?
Yes. I remember to somebody that said when somebody wanted to kill him, for example, what is your religion? If you are Muslims, I'd like to kill you. So we lie. It's permissible.
No, I'm talking about at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam.
It was Ammar.
Ammar ibn Yasir. Ammar ibn Yasir, may Allah be pleased with him and with his father, He also was a slave at the time. And he came to the Prophet once, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, crying. So the Prophet asked him, what happened? And he's crying, he's in tears, he's weeping. He says that, O Prophet of Allah, they kept on torturing me and punishing me and putting bad things, doing bad things to me until I've lost it and I've, you know, cursed you and said bad things about you. And then, only then they've stopped. So the Prophet asked him, Ammar, how do you find your heart? When you said this, were you pleased by saying it? He said, oh no, Prophet, my heart is filled with iman. So the Prophet told him, then if this is the case, if they repeat torturing you, repeat saying whatever you want or whatever they want you to say against me. So there's a permission from Allah that it's okay under pressure, under torture, that you may say the things that pleases them, because saving your life is an objective here. Bilal didn't look at it this way. Bilal was a slave. He didn't have anything to lose. The only thing that made him proud, the only thing that made him a man, was not his color, was not his wealth, was not his nationality. The only thing that made him who he was Islam. So he was not willing to compromise any single bit for this reason. And that is why they used to take him when it was, you know, burning hot in summer, put him on rocks and on the burning sand, and put a big rock on his chest while he was all in chain. A big, big rock that prevented him from breathing. And they ask him, what do you say, Bilal? How do you feel? And he would say, Ahadun Ahad. He is one, he is one, he is my God, Allah, Allah, Ahadun Ahad. And they kept on doing this for God knows how long. And he would not compromise. Until Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, came and talked to his owner. And told him, till when are you going to do this to him? Of course, Abu Bakr is a free man. And he is one of the great men of Quraysh, of Mecca. Yet he is a Muslim. So they can't do anything bad for him because he has his tribes behind him. His tribe behind him. So he says, until when are you going to do this? So they told him, until he rejects Islam. So Abu Bakr told him, what about if I pay you, let's say, 100 coins? The owner said, he's yours. So Abu Bakr bought him and immediately freed him. And Abu Bakr used to buy slaves and free them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. The owner said, Abu Bakr, if you have given me 10 coins, I would have given him to you. Because he's nothing to me. Abu Bakr told him, if you have asked for 1,000, I would have given it to you. So I had a very good deal. I bought him for 100. Bilal, this slave, this black slave, was one of the great companions of the Prophet ﷺ, to the extent that Umar, whenever he sees Bilal, he says that this is our master, and he was freed by our master, which is Abu Bakr. We have to stop here. Stay tuned. Inshallah, we will be right back.
Covering the manners in Islam that a Muslim is supposed to have in Islam.
There is a strong link between having good manners and piety. And then he said, I guarantee a dwelling in the highest rank of Jannah for the one who perfects his manner. That indeed, truthfulness leads to piety, to righteousness. And righteousness and piety leads to Jannah.
The Prophet used to always maintain family ties.
Gentleness in Islam means to treat people with kindness and with tenderness.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about Bilal. Bilal ibn Rabah. May Allah be pleased with him. The slave from Africa who came and embraced Islam to be the muadhin of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bilal, whenever Umar ibn Khattab saw him, used to say that this is our master, and he was freed by our master, and the other master is Abu Bakr. Now imagine when a lord or a sir talks about a slave and say that he's a master. This is you know, you cannot comprehend this unless you're a Muslim, because all barriers in Islam disappear. So if you're a king, a president, if you are a janitor, a driver, if you do anything, then as long as you're a Muslim, you are all equal. We have no barriers among Muslims. We do not segregate among Muslims. All Muslims are alike. Those in Africa are similar to those in the Far East or in Europe. They are all Muslims. And when it's called for prayer, they all stand shoulder to shoulder in the first row. And it all depends on who recites the Quran most to lead the prayer. Not the color, not the nationality, not how much you have in your bank account. Bilal was one of the greatest scholars of Islam. The Prophet, once he was told the dream of Abdullah ibn Zayd, Abdullah ibn Zayd said, "Listen, Prophet of Allah, I saw it, I call it. It's my shot. And then I want to call the adhan." Because he knew the greatness of calling people to prayer. So the Prophet ﷺ told him that this cannot be, because Bilal has a nicer voice. Not a louder voice, a nicer voice. So teach it to Bilal, and Bilal became the muadhin of the Prophet ﷺ. Among other people. But mainly he was the one to call for the adhan. Because there was another one in Mecca called, does anybody know? Abu Mahdhura. And also the Prophet had another one calling for the adhan in Medina. Abu Malik?
Abdullah ibn Maktoum.
Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum, the blind man who used to call for the adhan. So Bilal kept on calling for the adhan the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ. The minute the Prophet died ﷺ, he refrained from adhan. He stopped making adhan. And whenever people ask him why, he said, "I did it at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. It wouldn't feel good to do it for someone else." And this rule was broken only once, when the companions conquered the land of Sham, and they went to Al-Quds, what is called now, I think, Jerusalem. And they went in, Umar ibn al-Khattab asked Bilal to raise the adhan, and he raised the adhan, and he made everyone cry from the companions, because they recalled the lifetime of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and they couldn't help it, and they broke into tears, because of the love they had to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. This was Bilal, the person that used to call the adhan for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which indicates that the person calling the adhan in the masjid has to have a good voice. You want to call people into the masjid, not to get them away from it. And unfortunately, in some countries that I've visited, you have people calling the adhan in a very, very dramatic way. And a lot of people, when they hear the adhan, say, "What is this?" And on the contrary, in some countries, you hear the adhan and you cannot help but saying, "I want to pray. I want to go to that masjid and pray. The call is so peaceful and nice." And this is the way it should be. Now, we don't have to go to the extremes of putting, you know, musical tunes to it and extending the adhan to be like 7 to 10 minutes. Some people say Allahu Akbar, and instead of saying Allahu Akbar, they say Allah, and go on. And the guy was writing the notes and composing a new song. This is not acceptable. You should call for the adhan, but don't imitate music ways of singing it or something, so that it would not lose its value. And at the same time, don't say it straightforward, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, that you don't appeal people to the masjid and for the call of salah. I think we've spent enough time on this hadith, and we should move on to hadith 145, the hadith of Abu Mahzura, the one that used to call for the adhan at the time of the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca.
Narrated by Abu Mahzura radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ taught him the adhan, called to prayer, and he, the narrator, mentioned the tarjih in it. Muslim reported also the same hadith, but mentioned the phrase takbir, Allah is the most great, at its beginning just twice.
Okay, now, we have different types and forms of adhan, and they are all authentic and correct. So there is no need for you to jump into conclusion and say that this adhan is right and this adhan is wrong. If you know them by the sunnah, then you have no problem which one you choose. Imam Ahmad's adhan, and again, this is the adhan in Abdullah ibn Zayd hadith, and is the adhan that Bilal used to do, has 15 sentences. Allahu Akbar, 4 times. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, twice. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, twice. Hayya ala salat. Hayya ala al-falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. These are 15 sentences. Imam Malik has it 17. And he is adding tarjir. So he adds how many sentences? Tarjir, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. These are 4. So when you add 4 to 15, it becomes?
19.
Wow. When you add 4 to 15, it never becomes 17. It becomes 19. I said 17. Because he makes the takbir, instead of 4, he makes them 2. So it becomes 17. So he says, Allahu Akbar, twice. Then he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, 4 times with the tarjir. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, 4 times with the tarjir. Okay? Then he says, Hayya ala salat, twice. Hayya ala falah, twice. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. These are 17 times. Is this understood or should I repeat it? I'm very bad with math, so you correct me if I'm wrong. Imam Shafi'i says the adhan in 19 sentences. So it's exactly like Ahmad ibn Hanbal, which is 15, but he adds the tarjir. So it becomes Allahu Akbar 4 times, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah 4 times with the tarjir. So this makes it 8. And then Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah 4 times, which makes it 12. Then Hayya ala salah twice, Hayya ala falah twice, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. These are 19 times according to Imam al-Shafi'i. And all of this is backed by authentic sunnah. So what do we learn from this? We learn that if you see something you don't like or don't know, don't jump to conclusions just because you're used to one pattern or you're used to one sunnah, there's a possibility that there is another sunnah being applied somewhere else. So, I don't know, in Afghanistan, Muhammad, which adhan do you make?
15.
So it's like the one here. Yeah. In Indonesia?
Indonesia, sometimes they follow Shafi'i.
Okay, so sometimes in Indonesia, because they follow the Shafi'i madhab, they make it 19. So if we, you and I, inshallah, we will go to Indonesia one of these days and visit Noor, and we go to Noor, and we go to the masjid, and the imam is doing the 19 sentence, You and I should not jump into his neck and, you know, draw him back, say, don't make the adhan. This is wrong. No, this is okay. We may accept it as it is, as the sunnah backs it up. So we don't have to make an issue out of it. And it's very important that we understand how people think. And it's very important to understand and ask. If you see something that you dislike, it is not sunnah to think that, well, I have all the knowledge that is that there is, so definitely I can say and come to him and say, this is wrong. No. The best thing for you to do is to ask first. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ used to ask first. Nowadays, people kill first and then ask later. No, that's the wrong thing. You should go and ask. If you see someone doing something wrong in prayer, the best approach would be to go and talk to him and ask him, what is this you're doing? Do you have any sunnah that backs it up? If he provides you with the sunnah, then you cross-examine the sunnah. If it's correct, then you add more knowledge to yourself. If it's incorrect, the right thing for you to do is to correct this brother or gentleman and tell him that what he has done was wrong, and clear things up. This is the most appropriate way of dealing with brothers, especially in nowadays, where everyone is, you know, completing what or connecting and holding what he believes, and refuses to talk to others and see what they have. You always have to talk to people, ask them, and see if what they're doing is correct or not, and cross-reference to the Quran and sunnah. This way, no one has any argument to do. That is why you have to always cross-reference to the Quran and sunnah. The hadith of Abu Mahdura himself has a long story, and it's a beautiful story, but I'm afraid that we don't have time for it to elaborate a little bit more. Maybe, inshallah, after 3 or 4 hadiths, we will get the chance to talk Abu Mahdura, a person that was mocking the adhan, and subhanAllah, he became to be the muadhin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I believe that this is all the time we have for today's program. So until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.